As we turn now to the ministry of the Word, I invite you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and I'll be reading verses 12 through 15. If you want to look in the Bible that's provided in the chair rack in front of you, you can turn to page 150 for that. So we continue in our series in the book of Deuteronomy this morning. Deuteronomy means second law, and it covers Moses' sermons to the Israelites before they entered the land of Canaan to finally conquer it. We've been looking at the Ten Commandments, the heart of God's commandments and law and covenant with Israel. The first three commandments have related to how the Israelites were to treat God, especially in worship. They were to worship God exclusively, only as he instructed them to worship him. They were not to reduce him to anything in creation or to dishonor any of the ways that he had revealed himself to them. And now in the fourth commandment, we come to a command that still has an overt, obvious Godward focus, but also addresses an obvious need for the Israelites. Now, the focus moves from their holy God, we might say, to a holy day. And so I'm going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 5, the fourth commandment, verses 12 through 15. This is the word of God. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The rest of God and the Sabbath is presented to us in the Bible as stretching from the beginning at creation into eternity. Relevant passages on this are found in Genesis, Revelation, and every major section of the Bible in between. In Genesis, the opening account of creation ends with God finishing his work of creation in those 6 days, and then on the seventh day, resting and blessing the seventh day and making it holy because he rested from his work that he had done in creation. In Revelation, John says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day when he received his vision, where the Lord's Day would most naturally refer to Sunday, the day on which Christians worshiped their Lord. And then in Revelation 14, verse 13, John writes, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." One of the helpful New Testament passages is Hebrews 4, where the writer equates God's rest from his works on the seventh day with the rest that believers enter through their faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says to the Hebrew Christians that there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And he also calls them to strive to enter that rest, pointing beyond its present reality to a future fulfillment. So keeping this whole record of the Bible in mind, we're going to look at this commandment this morning in terms of entering God's rest. And note that in order for us to enter his rest, God calls us to a day of rest. As we look at God's command to Israel, we'll consider the Sabbath as a holy day, a day to rest from our work, and a day to remember our redemption. So we'll look at those three things in turn here. First, the Sabbath was for Israel a holy day, verse 12. The commandment begins there, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. What does that mean, to keep it holy? To treat something as holy is to withhold it from the way it is ordinarily used and dedicate it, rather, to a special use by God. The Israelites, notice, were not to make the day holy. God had already done that when he finished his work of creation. Moses writes in Genesis 2, verse 3, that God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. The fact that God blessed the seventh day is important for us as we consider this topic of Sabbath, because when God blesses something, he fills it with power to accomplish his good purposes. And it's clear from the passages about the Sabbath and the law that the Sabbath was to be a source of refreshment for the Israelites. It was to empower them for their days of labor. Israel was to set apart the seventh day from the other 6 days for God's special purpose on that day. They received the commandment before they got to Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments. They were on the way there, having been delivered from Egypt, and God, they were without food, remember, and God started providing, he provided quail, and he started raining bread from the sky, manna. And so they went out every morning to gather the manna. And on the sixth day, they went out and they gathered twice as much as normal. Each day they went out, they gathered the manna, it lasted them that day, and then it went bad, and they couldn't hold it over. But on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much. So God was providing for them. He was going to let it hold over through that seventh day, and he was preparing them for something. And then Moses explained that the next day, the seventh day, was a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord, to Yahweh, their God. So the Sabbath was to be observed by Israel with a Godward focus. And Moses repeats in verse 14 of our passage, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, your God. And so it required Israel here to focus on their dependence upon God as their creator. I mean, these 6 days they go out and they gather their bread, and they're wondering, you know, well, we have no bread today. It goes bad every day. And so, you know, if we don't go out, are we going to have any? And so it required them to have this rhythm. It required them to trust their God as their creator and their redeemer and their provider. So as a holy day, the Sabbath was not an ordinary day for Israel. It was an extraordinary day. And what made it extraordinary was what we'll look at secondly here. It was a day to rest from our work, verses 13 and 14. The fourth commandment addresses the rhythm of work and rest for the Israelites. It is the first command so far to be cast in a positive mode. The first three commands begin, you shall have no other gods. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And we talked about the fact that those have a positive implication, but those are all cast in the negative. The fourth command begins with the positive instruction to observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. How is Israel to do that? Well, their Sabbath observance is explained a little more detail in verses 13 and 14 with both positive and negative instruction. Positively, God says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And the word for work here refers primarily, if you look at the various definitions in the dictionary, you know, these words usually have some kind of range of meaning, and they're the first definition, the second, the third. Very first up there, it refers to a business trip or one's business or occupation. The Old Testament commentators Kyle and Dalich note that it is also used as a general term for work and applies to all kinds of tasks. So the idea, they conclude, is that every occupation was to rest on the Sabbath. We see some examples of this in the law, and examples where this would be specifically applied in Scripture would include plowing and reaping, Exodus 34, verse 21, pressing wine and carrying goods to be sold, Nehemiah 13, verse 15, carrying on trade, Amos chapter 8, verse 5, and holding markets, Nehemiah 13, verse 15. And we'll likely see this commandment fleshed out a bit more as we continue our study of Deuteronomy as well, how it was fleshed out for the Israelites. So what set the Sabbath apart from the other 6 days was, on it you shall not do any work, as God commands in verse 14. And we'll see that at the end of that verse, that the goal of the commandment is rest. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew verb Shabbat, which means to cease or to rest. A Sabbath is a day of rest. Israel is called in verse 14 to observe the Sabbath as a community. It is to include everyone in the community, those who are receiving the law, their children, their servants, even their livestock, who were presumably put to work, you know, in a farming agricultural society. You know, the livestock were the tractors, and the sojourners who were among them. These sojourners were foreigners who were there among Israel to work. They were foreigners. They were not necessarily worshipers of the God of Israel. But everyone and every animal involved in the work were to rest. And God adds the reasoning at the end of the verse 14, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. These male servants and female servants may have included fellow Israelites that had sold themselves into servitude, at least for a time, in order that they might live, that they might be provided for by those that they served. The same word in Hebrew can actually refer to a slave who is held in bondage or to a servant who is in that service for a period of time. The Israelites, of course, had been slaves. They had been held in bondage in Egypt, and they'd suffered under harsh oppression. You remember the account of their time there in Egypt when the Pharaoh turned against them. He oppressed them with harsh labor and finally said, well, don't give them any straw to make bricks. Let them find their own straw. Let's force them to make bricks without straw. And he tried to, you know, he kept them down in that oppressive, hard labor. And so the Israelites were not able to make their quota. So we know they didn't have a day off. I mean, they were slaves. They were forced to work. You know, they were oppressed and forced to work all week. They didn't know what this day off was, but they were not to treat their servants that way. Everyone was to be offered, whether servant or master, whether Israelite or sojourner, everyone in the community was to be offered this day of rest. Now, as with the other commandments so far, the Israelites seem to have been unique in the ancient world in having a day of rest unto their God. This was not normal in the ancient world. Some of them had a hard time adjusting to it when they came out of Egypt. Moses records in Exodus 16:27 how some of the Israelites, you may remember, went out on the seventh day to look for the manna, even though Moses told them not to do it, that God said not to do it, and told them there wouldn't be any out there. And sure enough, they went out there and there wasn't any manna. And in verse 28 of Exodus 16, we read that the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? The Israelites were constantly disobeying God's laws. See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. This account underlines some important things about the Sabbath. It emphasizes to us that the Sabbath was a gift. The Lord has given you the Sabbath. God says, it's a gift. Take it. Rest. It was a gift, though, that, again, required faith to receive. Israel had to trust that their needs would be provided, even though they stopped working on that day. But God emphasizes here that he's already provided what they need by giving them twice as much bread on the sixth day. God provides us with what we need to fulfill his commands. That's a general truth, but it does take faith on our part to obey his commands. The Sabbath does not imply that work is a bad thing. Work in the scripture is a good thing. It's commanded to us by God, and there is, of course, this positive side of the Sabbath, that we're to work those 6 days. And God has given us, ultimately, the commandment in creation to rule over the creation with him and on his behalf, and to subdue it, and that it might glorify him. And yet, as sin has come into the world, our work has been cursed. You know, that was part of the curse. You know, thorns and thistles the ground is going to produce for you now. So work is hard. And so part of the gift of the Sabbath is that God does not oppress us as his laborers who labor to subdue the creation for his glory. He gives us rest. And so he summoned, and that rest for Israel is in the Sabbath here, and he summoned Israel to enter his rest when he had finished his work of creation, the seventh day. So the Sabbath reflects the fact that God does not oppress us with his work. So far, the commandment has been focused on physical work and rest, but we've seen hints that there perhaps is more to it than that. Now, since the Sabbath was a gift with the promise of blessing, it would be nice if that gift and that blessing continues for us in the new covenant. That'd be nice. There are indications that it does. If that's the case, then at least part of what we would need to do is to be able to take a day of rest from our ordinary work. My conviction is that you are in the best position to define what that is. What is your ordinary work? For some, it may revolve around a job, or being a student, or having regular responsibilities in the home or in the community. For others, it may be taking a break from the things that you normally do to just sustain your life, to rest and to be refreshed. Rather than asking, well, what would it be okay and not okay to do, I think a better question is, what refreshes you? What is it that gives you rest and refreshes you? We're talking about a gift here. We're talking about a source of blessing here, not a burden. The Pharisees, you remember, in the New Testament, they had made these extra rules about the Sabbath, and they were going to define what work was, down to how far you could walk and how big of a burden you could lift. And so they had all these rules about what they were going to tell you. This is what work is for you, and this is what rest is for you. They made it a burden. And they also got on the wrong side of the Sabbath because they were constantly accusing Jesus of breaking the Sabbath, of working on the Sabbath. You are in the best position to know what your work is and what gives you rest. Your work is that on which you normally focus, what you put your energy, what you put your time into to maintain your life and your livelihood. Now, the things that refresh us, as we're thinking about the physical aspect here of rest, the things that refresh us physically will differ, I'm convinced, from person to person. A person who does a lot of manual labor during the week may find it most restful to be fairly inactive if they take a day of rest physically. But a person who spends a lot of time, like I do, sitting behind a desk and being fairly inactive may want to get out and be active and exercise and experience the stress going away and the endorphins that come from that exercise and the refreshment that comes from physical exercise. Sabbath rest is meant to be refreshing, not burdensome. There are clear indications in the commandment that more than physical rest is in view. The Sabbath, apparently also for Israel, was a time to remember our redemption. Verse 15. In verse 15, God gives an additional reason for his command to observe the Sabbath day. And most of the wording, now as we look at these Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy, most of the wording of the Ten Commandments is just the same as what you would find if you turn to Exodus chapter 20, when the commandments were originally given to Israel at Sinai. But this verse and the reason given are different. In Exodus 20, verse 11, the reason for the commandment is tied to God's rest in creation. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Here, however, as Moses recites these Ten Commandments to these Israelites, almost 40 years later, as they're getting ready to enter the land of Canaan, he cites their redemption from Egypt by God's hand as the reasoning of verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The fact that Moses does this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is in line with the understanding that these Ten Commandments are forming the heart and the summary of God's law and his covenant with Israel. And when reasons happen to be given for these commandments, that doesn't necessarily mean that these are all the reasons. In Exodus 31, we learn that the Sabbath functioned as a sign of God's covenant with Israel through Moses and pointed to his work and rest in creation. And so the reasoning in Deuteronomy should not be taken instead of the reasoning in Exodus. It's not creation or redemption. It's both. Both are a reason for Israel to keep the Sabbath day. And it's not hard to see at least one of the reasons why we would have a different reasoning here written down. The generation that received the commandment first at Mount Sinai had just come out of their slavery in Egypt, and they had witnessed firsthand not long before those mighty acts of God, where he brought all those plagues down on the Egyptians, and where he lured, he sent his people through on dry land, and the Egyptian army followed, and he destroyed the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. And so the call for that first generation at Mount Sinai to remember these things would not have been as fitting as here to this generation. Those things were very fresh in that generation's minds. Not that they wouldn't, you know, soon forget their redemption. But this is 40 years later, and most of these Israelites either weren't there or would have been too young to remember when these great things happened. And yet, as fellow Israelites, as part of the covenant community of God's people, they again here are called to identify themselves with those Israelites, with Israel, who was redeemed by God from Egypt. They had been slaves, and their freedom was purchased by God through the blood of the Lamb. That is what redemption is, purchase from slavery. The word for remember here means, first of all, to mention. And it carries the idea of remembering, therefore, it seems, as a mentioning to oneself or a calling to mind. God often urges Israel, we'll see a few more times in Deuteronomy, to remember their redemption as a motivation for keeping his commandments. And we've seen already in the preamble to the Ten Commandments in verse 6 that God is he presents himself, first of all, to Israel as as their redeemer. I've redeemed you, therefore, keep my commandments. But the language here suggests that remembering Israel's redemption by God's hand is not just motivation for keeping the commandment of the Sabbath day, but to be an active part, actually, of keeping that day holy. God has said what they are not to do. Rest from your work. What are they to do? It seems they ought to remember that God is their creator, that God is the one who has finished his work in his creation, and he has rested, and they know their work isn't done, but now they get to rest in who God is, and who is the one who provides for them, and who's the one who is working. They ought to remember that their God has redeemed them from slavery by his mighty work. This is their God. They are free. They are beloved in him, and he is able to keep them and protect them. So the rest from their ordinary work, and this will be fleshed out more fully as we move along in Deuteronomy, I think, the rest from their ordinary work is apparently for the purpose of making room to focus especially on remembering God's mighty works on their behalf. In Hebrews 4, the writer says that we, as believers in the new covenant, enter God's rest through believing the good news of Jesus Christ, who came to save us as sinners, for answering that invitation of Jesus, come to me and I will give you rest, rest for your souls. He also says there, the writer to the Hebrews, that there remains a Sabbath rest, likely meaning a Sabbath observance for the people of God. And he seems to be talking about the present time. And then he urges the Hebrew Christians, let us therefore strive to enter that rest. So he presents God's rest from his works in creation as both a present reality for the believer and a future hope for which we are to strive, work, to enter. So though there are changes, it appears that we in the new covenant are not left out of the blessing and the gift of Sabbath. In fact, we experience it more fully in Christ. Since his resurrection, the church has recognized that Sunday is now that day that has been set apart by God and blessed and filled with power to worship him while we rest from our ordinary labors. And so today we remember as we worship, we remember that we depend upon God as his creatures, that we also remember that we depend upon God as his beloved, redeemed people, that he redeemed at the price of his own son. We live in the midst of a world that, as we work, that tends to be hostile to him, that tends to be hostile to his truth, that tends to be hostile even to his people, And so today we remember. We remember the beauty of our God. We remember the power of our God in creation and redemption. We remember the faithfulness of our God. We remember the truth of our God in the midst of the lies that we are exposed to day to day in the world. We rehearse the gospel together in our worship. Jesus, who came for us and who died for our sins, we root ourselves in the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We listen to his word. We offer prayers and praises. We enjoy fellowship with one another. All of this, as you know, takes work. It takes effort. You're spending effort right now to listen, to think, well, what is he saying? I'm trying to understand it. I'm comparing it to what I already understand from the scriptures. But the Holy Spirit refreshes our souls through these means of his grace that we enjoy together as we lay aside what we normally do during the week and are refreshed in his grace and his ministry. We are physical and spiritual beings. And so Sabbath rest is a gift to bless us with physical and spiritual rest, with refreshment, that we may connect more powerfully now with that rest of God that he blessed in creation, that we're told will one day be restored to us in fullness in eternity when he restores all things to the way they are meant to be in the age to come. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, this is a difficult command for us to understand and practice fully, but we thank you for the reality and promise of entering your rest. We pray that you would give and assist our faith to rest in Christ in his finished work for our salvation. We pray that you would give us wisdom and help both to work and rest and be physically and spiritually refreshed in you. In your name we ask. Amen.